another episode of Honoring Hidden Heroes, brought to you by MilitaryLuggage.com. The Military Luggage Company provides all branches of the military with the best and most comprehensive selection of bags, packs, and cases for field operations, deployments, travel, and even casual use.
Hello, everyone. I'm super excited about this episode because it is different than anyone and any organization we've interviewed in the past. We haven't talked much about animal therapy and how that can be helpful to those who experience mental health issues, PTSD, or just anyone who is looking for that extra need or comfort. So we will be speaking with Bart, who is the founder of Train a Dog, Save a Warrior. And they are an amazing nonprofit and organization who really focuses on the importance of animal therapy as well as independence. So looking forward to having you all hear about it.
Listeners, please be advised that this episode mentions talk of suicide prevention and suicide. So please listen today at your own discretion.
All right. We'd like to welcome to the show Bart, who is the founder of Train a Dog, Save a Warrior.
Good morning, Kristen. Nice to meet you finally. And thank you for inviting, you know, Tadsaw to be part of your podcast.
Tadsaw. I like that. I like how that sounds. That's great. Yeah, we're super excited to have you on because we've never really discussed kind of the importance of animal therapy and really had an organization that does what you do. And I'm not saying it's specifically animal therapy, but anything with animals can really help improve someone's mood.
That's all. Train a Dog, Save a Warrior is a concept. It's an opportunity. It's about helping people, starting off with veterans and their family members and first responders. It was in response to being in at Fort Sam Houston back in July of 2010, when there was a reading education assistance dog named God, I can't remember the dog's name, but that's all right. It doesn't matter. The dog is immaterial, but the dog was laying next to the young Kelsey. The dog was laying next to a young girl who went from a second grade reading to a sixth grade reading in several months by being able to read to a reading therapy dog. And she was just laying there on the floor with cuddling the dog. And her father walked up, who's going through therapy to get out of the military, and looked and said, "Gee, I wish my dog could do that. Just lay there and be calm." And I looked at him and said, "Train a dog, save a warrior." You would have thought I said, you know, peanut butter and chocolate, you know, as easy as it sounds, you know, and yet it's a winning recipe, you know.
So why therapy dogs, and why did you see such a need, or what is the importance of therapy dogs in the life of someone?
Doing therapy dogs was an ideal way because you train a therapy dog and the handler at the same time. And a service dog was traditionally trained as a seeing eye dog for everybody. But when you're dealing with people that aren't blind, why are you training a dog like that? So we chose to use the therapy dog and teach the veteran how to train their own dog. And it works because they can train their next dog and their next dog. You give them the fishing pole, you don't give them the fish. And when you ask these military, everybody's been in the military, how many times did your drill sergeant clean your M16 while you were in training? Yes. The answer is unanimous. It is the same among everybody. The answer is zero. And even a Secretary of Defense, when I asked him that, he said no. He had to spit polish his own boots and he had to clean his own weapon. So it's a unique thing that they teach you in the military of learn one, do one, teach one. And that's basically what Tadsaw follows, is teaching train the person who's handling the dog to be a dog trainer so he can take care of himself the rest of his life. And Tadsaw's had 17,000 suicide interventions and over 1,470 suicide preventions just by the service dogs. So we try to dispel and control the narrative now by let's not get caught up on how many suicides are a day, because suicides are going to go on. But how many suicides can Tadsaw prevent a year? How many can we help intervene in to maybe let them do something else to get better assistance? But we need to be talking about suicide preventions.
And we will get more into that aspect, the suicide prevention piece, because that's something we talk about a lot on this podcast, and we want it to be normalized and
break the stigma. So I love just how you started this idea and this organization. It's funny. That's sometimes how the best ideas start. Just you see a need and don't have a plan and you just do it. So what were kind of the next steps after you developed the idea?
Struggling to get people to apply, you know, struggling to find donors. You know, there are plenty of donors out there that want to help rescue dogs, but they don't want to help veterans. And so we've always used rescue dogs, and we always have had the ability to say that we save two lives at a time. You know, I look at this. If I have an idea and somebody else uses it to do better and save more lives, then that's fine. I don't, you know, it was an idea that we had. So if everybody follows the Tattsall way, that's great. You know, if it works for you, that's fine. You know, I'm not worried about competition. The competition in organizations that deal with veterans is not money. Everybody looks at it as money, but really it's how many more lives can you affect? How many more lives can you save? That is the competition, because I may not be able to reach the person in Wisconsin. You know, I bring that up only because of your mug, but I may not be able to reach somebody in Wisconsin because I don't have a trainer there, but there may be an organization that reaches out and they get help, you know, and they save that life. So if anything, Tattsall can at least say, hey, I helped another organization move forward to save more lives. That's what it's about.
And I like what you said. Yeah, I like what you said about referring to other organizations, because we talk about that a lot on this podcast, about like
helping each other and not being in competition with other nonprofits, but really seeing what another nonprofit can do better and refer who you're serving to them and vice versa.
Can we dive a little bit more into the kind of program steps? So someone's interested, they fill out an application.
They contact me. And I talk to them on the phone. I do not have the application is not available online, because I want to make sure everybody understands that this is a program that you have to participate in. This is not, well, we're going to train you a dog and give you a dog and you're going to wait 3 to 5 years. Instead, it's a program that you apply to and maybe wait 3 to 5 weeks to get on board and start training. If you have a dog, great. We'll evaluate your dog. If you don't have a dog, well, it could take an extra 2 to 16 weeks to find the right dog. Sometimes it may take a little bit longer, especially if I don't have a trainer in your area. As I tell some people, this is not Valero. This is not CVS. This is not Walgreens. And it's definitely not, you know, Circle K or Walmart, where we have a store on every corner. You know, you may have to travel 45 to 90 minutes or miles to the trainer. And in some places like North Dakota and Northern Wisconsin, you may have to travel 4 hours. But you know, if I can find somebody, that's great. If I can't find somebody, don't get mad. And, you know, so, you know, like I said, I try to find trainers. You know, it's just finding that trainer that says, I like your program and I want to help people. You know, you like Tattsall, train a dog, save a warrior. But because we have enlarged everything to handle everybody that needs a service dog with a medical condition or need to improve their quality of life, we have train a dog, save a first responder, train a dog, save a child, civilian or community, TADSAC. And, you know, since we're training, you know, everybody, is it train a dog, save a warrior, or is it going to be train a dog, save a world? Because, you know, I just got off of Zoom with the Ukraine about helping them with their dogs that are running loose because of the war and helping their population who has to survive with what's going on in their veterans. Occupation from that of, a trained killer to that of now a dog trainer, when you get triggered for a memory, your dog comes out and says, hey, you know, you're not in war, you're a dog trainer, come back here to me. And it pulls them closer. It's teaching the person how to come back closer to the dog, be responsive, and just make sure that all these memories you have are just that. They're all memories. They're never anything else. And so you get to take control of the narrative.
I really like how your organization hones in on independence and really teaching that service member to train the dog and move forward and learn skills that they can use themselves when the training is over and they don't have someone holding their hand and they can just really hone in on that independence. I think it's so important.
I absolutely love that.
We have to reestablish their self-trust, their self-confidence, their self-esteem. Those are the three things that are taken away during war because they have no control over what goes on. When they can go ahead and start controlling the narrative, they can control their life. They're not held hostage by the demons of the memories. The demons from the memories are just that, they're memories.
Honoring Hidden Heroes is brought to you by www.militaryluggage.com. If you're a new listener and wondering what Military Luggage Company does, we supply tough, rugged, and functional gear for all branches of the military and first responders. For our listeners right now, we are offering 10% off your entire order. Enter HHH in the coupon code when checking out. Again, for all listeners, if you enter HHH in the coupon code during checkout, you'll receive 10% off your entire order.
Yeah, I don't know how much you actually get to see the service member or veteran that comes through your program or kind of follow up with them or the aftermath, but do you have any cool stories you'd like to share or anything that really sticks out in your mind?
I have memories of everybody, you know, the ones that I meet, you know, I mean, the getting the thank yous and things like this, you know, I appreciate the thank yous and everything like this, but I just really were happy. And if they graduate, you know, complete the program and they spend the rest of the time with their families, their life, and knowing that, you know, if they need me, they call me. If they don't need me, that's fine too. You know, it's the bird nest syndrome. You know, you hatch the egg and you hope that bird gets out and flies and never comes back to the nest. But if they need to come back, they're always welcome. They're, you know, what's really the nice part is when, because of the fact you've trained them with their first dog, they come back with their second dog and they've done it all by themselves. And, you know, it means a lot. You know, I'm thankful for the Vietnam veterans that protected me while I was in college, you know, who are the forgotten heroes, but so far we've got 169 Vietnam veterans that have gone through our program successfully. So, you know, that's part. Yesterday a team graduated in outside of San Antonio. He is one of my trainers. He's a Vietnam Marine veteran, okay, that handled dogs. And then he went through our program to train, and he knew about dogs, and now he's a dog trainer. And yesterday, an Air Force Vietnam veteran, you know, also graduated under his tutelage. And it was like his wife wrote that, you know, they had a really special bond. Well, yeah, they were brothers in war, and now they're brothers in healing. I do this, you know, because I know I'm making a difference in somebody's life. And, you know, and that's what you have to realize. You're worried about the person you're in front of, not what you can control, not what you can't control.
So kind of getting back to the suicide prevention piece that we talked on and how your program and your organization is really trying to limit the number of suicides and just help military members, veterans, first responders cope with any feelings that they may have. How does it make you feel that you're really changing the narrative and making an impact in that way?
It's a good feeling. You know, I would like to feel better. You know, somebody says, oh, 1400 suicide prevention with dogs. That's a lot. But then I tell them what the statistics are, you know, and out of the statistics, out of those 17,000 suicide interventions, because every time I talk to somebody, it's a potential suicide intervention. Maybe I'm going to stop them, even though it's an applicant, you know, change the narrative, not just applicants. Now they're interventions. 40% of them will go ahead and complete the application and send it in. You know, so that means that 60% of them are either doing something else, are going to go on their own way and figure out, hey, this is an easy program. I can duplicate it. I'll do it myself. Of the 40% that return applications, 20% will graduate. One out of five. Out of that one out of five, one says, this is way too much. I didn't think it was going to be this kind of work to have to get a service dog. One out of five is going to say, well, I'm just not ready. I've got too many medical problems. Two out of five say, you know what? I've gone to a couple lessons. I can train my own dog, which is under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Owner training is permissible. Oh, that's participant trained service dog training. You do it yourself. And one out of five graduates. So when you really start looking at the statistics, the only things I can prove is that I've got 1,477 service dog teams that we actually graduated and completed a test, but I've got 3,500 that have done it on their own, and that's out of the two out of five. And then if you look at the 60% that didn't send in the application and you just apply that, there's probably another 3,000 service dog teams out there, veterans that are alive because of the concept of TATSAW. I just don't help one person. So I just don't help. I didn't help just 1,400 service veterans and people. I helped their families. So that's 1,400 families. That's 1,400 neighborhoods. And now you can say 1,400 different communities that have been helped by having a service dog for that person. And when you start looking at the overall picture, it's just mind-boggling and gives you that feeling of, wow. You know, just wow.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Well, as we wrap up here, do you mind giving your website so that listeners can check you out?
Sure. Sure. My website is www.tadsaw.org. That's www.tadsaw.org. You can see it up there on the screen. That's right. No, this is not going to be a screen thing because it's a podcast, so there's no visual. My telephone number is 210-643-2901. So if you go to the website, it's going to say, if you want more information, here, leave a message and Bart will send you an email. Or it says, call Bart if you really want to be taken care of. I answer my phone 24/7, 365. So don't feel, this is your time to call to get information. When you call me, don't worry about what time it is. If you think it's important enough to get the information, you call me at 210-643-2901. Don't worry. Just do not ask me if it's early in the morning, did I wake you up? Because I'll tell you, no, I was just waiting for your phone call. Don't want anybody to feel like they're disturbing me. If you call me in the afternoon, don't ask me that either, because I might be taking a nap because I'm old. And so, you know, as an older person, sometimes you fall asleep. And so it's okay because everybody's, he's old. Don't worry about him. But, you know, it's about trying to make the applicant, you know, feel good about himself that he's going to get help and get assistance and get what he needs and go from there. But, you know, like I said, don't go out and buy a puppy because then we have to wait till the puppy's a year old. If you're going to go out, rescue a dog that's 14 months old to 5 to 6 years of age. Just make sure he's got a good temperament, you know, that it's not Cujo waiting to happen. And so, you know, like I said, we use a lot of dogs, pit bulls, whatever the breed is. We don't look at the breed of the dog. We look at the temperament, personality, and character of the dog. That's really what makes it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And again, if you're... Well,
thank you from Military Luggage. Yes. I appreciate them inviting me to...
They're amazing.
You know, be part of the podcast. So thank you, Military Luggage, and... You know,
of course,
I'm always available to speak. So, you know, like never run out of material.
Yes. But big shout out to you and your team and just everything you're doing. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you again to Bart and his team for everything that they do. And thank you to Bart for his time today. Again, if you want to check out more of what they do, you can go to tadsaw.org, tadsaw.org. I just feel super grateful that I get to do this and listen to stories and learn about all the great things people are doing for military members, veterans, their families, first responders. It's just really impactful and very cool to hear. And a lot of the people we interview do this on their own time, their own dime. It is truly incredible. So we have a lot of amazing things going on here in our country today. And I'm really grateful that I get to be a part of this. So thank you again for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Honoring Hidden Heroes.